Welcome to the Political Cesspool, known worldwide as the South's foremost populist radio program. And here to guide you through the murky waters of the political cesspool is your host, James Edwards.
All right, everybody. Welcome back to the second hour of tonight's live broadcast of the award-winning Political Cesspool radio program. I'm your host, James Edwards, as I come to you this evening, Saturday, May the 22nd, live from AM 1380 WLRM Radio right here in Memphis, Tennessee, our flagship station, but by no means our only affiliate, thanks to the Liberty News Radio Network. And, of course, we're also syndicated, or simulcasted, I should say, on the Internet, thepoliticalcesspool.org, that's our website, and libertynewsradio.com, that is the website of our network. And great people there all the way around. It's very, very nice to be associated with such a fine group of people. And don't forget, if you miss a live show, if you miss any part of a live show, it's all readily available to you in the broadcast archives on demand 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. And if you missed the first hour tonight, you missed quite a bit. We covered several topics with Keith Alexander. And is that guy great or is that guy great? I tell you, I surround myself with a lot of talent, and I can't say it enough. Keith Alexander, Winston Smith, Eddie Miller, who you'll hear from later tonight, and, of course, Bill Rowland. That is my staff of co-hosts. And they are absolutely remarkable. They make me look good, even when I don't sound good, and I don't sound good tonight because I'm a little sick. But I'm still very excited to be here with you tonight. That first hour, though, by the way, we covered a lot of stories. Pat Buchanan attacked by the ADL again. What did he say? Well, go back and listen to the archives if you missed it. It's all in there. Jackson, Mississippi story there. Man, I don't even know if you want to know what the restaurants are doing down there. Pennsylvania Swim Club was sued out of business, and Arizona Ranchers being sued because he had the audacity to try and call the Border Patrol on some illegal aliens that were on his property. And we even did a roundup of some good news stories. All of that, if you can believe it, we jammed that into the first hour, and it went by fast. It's always a whirlwind when I'm on the show bringing this stuff to you. It's a time warp. But we've got a lot more in store for you this evening. As I mentioned a moment ago, Eddie the Bombardier Miller will be with me tonight during the third hour. Coming up in just a little bit from now, Reverend Ted Pike will be back live as our guest with some more information that you need to know. And speaking about those archives, one more little throwback to the archives. Check them out on our website, thepoliticalcesspool.org. Last week, I was talking about Keith Alexander and all the subjects we covered during tonight's first hour. Last week, May 15th, we covered one issue during the first hour. We dedicated the entire hour to the ramifications, the aftermath of the Brown versus Board of Education decision. Keith, he didn't hit it out of the park. He hit it out of the state. Check it out if you missed it. And just browse our archives if you're a new listener. We have interviewed a lot of heavyweights on this program, Pat Buchanan, Ted Nugent, Jerome Corsi, a lot of the leading figures of the right. They all are our friends. We work closely with them. And we've got a lot of good interviews in the archives for you. That being said, enough about that. Let's move on to new territory this evening. I want to spend a few moments tonight talking about some immigration-related issues. Immigration, America First immigration reform, I should say, is a very big topic that we're covering, that so many conservative entities are covering. And I don't know if any of them are covering them quite as well as we do, of course, here for Liberty News Radio, but because on a lot of those so-called mainstream entities, you're not going to hear stuff like this. I don't know if you've heard of the if you want to call it a movie that's coming out later, Machete. And I know Eddie the Bombardier wants to talk about this. And I'm not going to steal his thunder, but I'm just going to mention this, and then we'll let Eddie talk about it more later. You have here a Mexican calling for an armed revolt against the United States government. A Mexican on American soil calling for revolt against the United States government, and the media, the ADL, the Southern Poverty Law Center, all absolutely silent. A Mexican calls for revolt, terrorism against the government of this country. All these radical left-wing organizations are silent. But if Pat Buchanan mentions that Elena Kagan is Jewish, he gets denounced for being an anti-Semite. He gets, you know, there's calls for his firing at MSNBC and from his syndicated column. But this is okay. And if a Tea Party protester fails to tip his hat to a passing crackhead. It's all over the media, though, as proof of the racist, hateful, treasonous nature of those evil Tea Party people. But as I mentioned, when a Mexican high school teacher calls for the overthrow of the quote-unquote racist, imperialist government of frail white people in this country, it is a non-story. Non-story. And notice that the whole time, and we, again, I was talking about all the great articles we've got up on our website this week, the videos. We've got this video up there, too, at thepoliticalcesspool.org. Go check it out. Notice that the whole time he's railing against evil white people and their racist imperialist government that has to be overthrown. You keep in mind that he's living here. This country is so despicable, he lives here. But he's doing all this talk while he's standing in front of a banner that says hate speech is not free speech. Now, a lot of conservatives would say that's a contradiction, but there's really no contradiction at all. When liberals talk about hate speech, they're not talking about speech that's actually hateful. What they mean is speech that isn't politically correct. It's fine for a Mexican to call for a violent revolution in America, but if conservatives oppose Obamacare, then that's hate speech. And one of these days, conservatives will start figuring these things out, and they're going to start seeing it the way I see it, seeing it the way you see it as a loyal listener of this radio program. One day, they're going to figure it out. They're going to come over here. They're going to go all out, and they're going to be with us. But until then, we have got, it's our duty to continue to point out these double standards and hypocrisies. And I tell you, that's a big one right there. That's a big one. You got a guy like that saying things like that. And no hate crimes charges, no investigations, no nothing. He's a media celebrity. They love him. And, you know, you got silence from the ADL, silence from the SPLC. Check it out on our website, thepoliticalcesspool.org. Another thing we got up there, John McCain. You remember John McCain? If you're lucky, you don't, but you probably do. This is absolutely disgusting. I mean, this is bad. John McCain has long been one of the biggest opponents of cracking down on illegal immigration. He even backed an amnesty bill with Ted Kennedy, for crying out loud. During the 2008 presidential election, he pandered to the illegal aliens relentlessly as the Republican nominee and ignored America's legitimate concerns with illegal immigration. Americans who didn't want the crime and disease and further loss of jobs to these people who will do it for lower wages, people who didn't think that these folks who were coming in here refusing to assimilate into our culture, heritage, and heroes, those people he completely alienated from his campaign with all of his pandering that he was doing to the illegal aliens. Now, though, John McCain finds himself in a tough reelection battle there in Arizona, who is doing a lot of things the right way these days. He's facing a tough reelection battle with an opponent who has a long history of opposing illegal immigration, and suddenly, are you ready for this? Suddenly, you know where this is going. John McCain, Mr. Amnesty himself, is trying to portray himself as the Terminator. This video on our website is really sickening to watch. What a complete fraud this guy is. If he wins the election, if he wins his reelection, we all know that the very next day he's going to forget about this commercial that I'm talking about and his promises on illegal immigration. He's going to go right back to who he truly is, Mr. Amnesty. And I certainly hope that the voters of Arizona, who are standing up so strong, I'm so proud of the courage and the vision being shown by Arizonans these days, I hope that these voters aren't going to be fooled by this shameless acting job. But, you know, what's so ironic about it is that if McCain had ran this commercial back in 08, he might have won the presidency. But I don't even think it was his intention to win. He ran. You couldn't have scripted a more impotent, weak campaign than what John McCain put forth against Obama. I mean, that was horrific. And if it wasn't for Arizona proving that some of these red state Republican parties still have a pulse, you know, I had long written off the Republican Party, and as a national entity, I still do, with the token joke Michael Steele up there as their chairman. I mean, they're ridiculous, and they're really carbon copies of the Democrats. They're weak. They're nothing of substance. But if McCain had ran that, he probably would have won. But his whole campaign was a concession speech. We'll be back with more, though, right after this.
Don't go away. There's more Political Cesspool coming your way right after these messages. Welcome back. To get on the political cesspool, call us on James's Dime, toll-free, at 1-866-986-6397. And here's the host of the political cesspool, James Edwards.
All right, welcome back to the show. Moving right along, want to remind you of something, and I failed to mention it so far this evening, although we did make mention of it briefly last week. If you're a fan of this show, and judging by the amount of snail mail and email we receive on a daily basis, there are a lot of you out there, you're going to be very excited to know that we have a very big announcement coming up in about 2 weeks. At the very first of June, we are going to be unveiling a project that we've completed. It's something that I've been working on since October, and we feel as though it's really going to serve as a great complement to this radio program, and it's something that everybody's going to want to be a part of. So that's coming up. Can't tell you yet, because we got a big production in line here for the launch of this deal, but it's coming, and it's coming quick. I am very excited about it, as excited about it as anything I've ever done. And I look forward to sharing it with you, so be sure to keep your ears tuned to this program each week, every Saturday night here, 6 p.m. Central Time. We kick off every Saturday here on the Liberty News Radio Network and our website, thepoliticalcesspool.org. If you want to be among the very first to get the news, you got to sign up for our email list, because we're going to announce it on the email list a day or two before we come on and really trumpet it here on the program. So sign up for the email list at thepoliticalcesspool.org and just stay tuned for that big announcement coming up in less than 2 weeks. So it's exciting. We think you're going to be excited about it. It's all good stuff. Anyway, back to the topic at hand. We're talking here at the top of the second hour about the Mexican teacher who has called for an armed revolt against the government of America. Well, not really the government of America, just Americans in general, and you know what that means. Media completely silent. They like that. McCain has become Mr. Tough on Borders, and surely the Arizonans who are doing things so right these days are going to be able to see through that. And you know, and they've been forced to do it because the American government has been derelict in its duties to defend the borders of this country. One of the very most basic, simple things that they're charged to do, they've done everything but secure it and done everything they could to aid and abet the illegal alien invasion of this sovereign republic. The Arizona border is a war zone. A nation that won't protect its citizens from savage brutality that's being committed by foreign invaders isn't going to be a nation much longer. And thankfully, we've seen some positive, proactive measures being taken, but not only by Arizona, but as I mentioned in the first hour, 17 other states now stand at the ready to implement laws either similar to Arizona or better than the law passed in Arizona. If you look at the legislation being proposed in Oklahoma, for example. But whether, you know, liberal or conservative, quote unquote, Republican or Democrat, our presidents and congressional leadership have made it clear, no matter what side of the aisle they're on a federal level, they're not going to do anything to stop the invasion of illegal aliens. No matter what it does to our nation or how many citizens die because of it, they don't answer to the voters. They answer to the people calling the shots in D.C., New York, and Hollywood, and those people have made it absolutely clear that they want America turned into a third-world flophouse. And for anyone who thinks that the president and Congress called the shots in Washington, it's time to turn off Fox News, Rush Limbaugh, and Glenn Beck, and get a clue. And you can get that clue, once again, 3 hours every week by tuning into our live broadcast. Now, we've been doing it for 6 years. We hope to be doing it for 60 more years. And with your support, we might just be able to do that. We continue to get bigger and better every year. And that is 100% a result of those in our listening audience. I mean, it is a family. We've got an army of listeners who are very much active in the development of this radio program. I just hope I can remain active for the last hour and a half. I feel myself getting hoarser and hoarser as the program continues. Thankfully, Bombardier Eddie will be here with me during the third hour. We got Ted Pipe coming up in the next segment. They're going to need a little relief here. I've been battling some sort of a virus. I've been on all kinds of antibiotics, I don't know, for about a month, and it's just kind of lingering. Of course, I work a lot, so it's hard to, the immune system goes down, lack of sleep. I don't have it as bad as some, though. Multimillionaire Phil Jackson, the head coach of the Lakers, for instance, has been denounced as a racist. Now, can you believe that? We talked about this, I think, a couple of weeks ago, although this is a follow-up story to that original presentation. You'll remember that the Phoenix Suns, after Arizona passed their law, the liberal owner of the Phoenix Suns and their diverse basketball team, decided that they're morally and intellectually superior to the 70%+ of voting citizens in Arizona who want to secure their borders, who want this immigration, America First immigration reform law passed. They protested it by wearing jerseys that said Los Suns, L-O-S Suns. And they did it, they were very public about it, they did it in protest to the law that was passed there in their state, a law that is, as I mentioned, overwhelmingly supported by the public. Now, Phil Jackson was asked about the law as the coach of the Los Angeles Lakers, and he said basically it's their right to pass such a law. It's basically just a carbon copy of the federal law that isn't being enforced, and I think that basketball teams should stay out of politics. That's basically all he said. That's all he said, and we talked about this. Well, now, L.A. Lakers coach Phil Jackson is being denounced as a racist. He's a racist now for his support of a state law, S. Bill 1070 in Arizona. Protesters are demanding that he stop the hate and denounce Arizona for passing their recent law cracking down on illegal immigration. A story reads that a small but spirited group of activists outraged at comments by Lakers coach Phil Jackson that seemed to back Arizona's new immigration law, rallied Monday outside Staples Center in downtown Los Angeles before the Lakers' playoff opener against the Phoenix Suns. The way we look at it, Phil Jackson is supporting the Arizona law, said Mario Gonzalez, a longtime Laker fan. Caught us off guard. We want to find out where he stands. Well, they know where he stands. He stands for it. And there was about a dozen protesters there. You know what they do, this rabble. They wave signs. They bang on drums. Banners they had read, say no to Phil Jackson, say no to the racist Arizona bill. Lost Lakers, stand up, speak out. Phil Jackson, stop the hate. Lakers, see. Phil Jackson, no. Well, what did he do that was so racist? He supported a state law that seeks to enforce the federal law that all states are supposed to abide by. He sided with the American people in Arizona and not the illegal aliens. Illegal aliens are criminals. These aren't even American citizens. Of course, any decent person with a shred of integrity here in this country is going to stand with the laws of this nation and the people of this nation, the American citizens, who support these laws being enforced and not the illegal alien invaders. All right? I mean, any decent person would do that. Now, if you are some sort of radical nut liberal that doesn't like the law, then advocate that the laws be changed. Go through the system. Work through the system. And if enough people support your idea, let it be passed. But don't advocate breaking the laws of this country. I mean, how obvious is that? Well, anyway, Ray Stevens sees it my way. Yeah, Ray Stevens. We talked about that during the first hour also. Ray Stevens, the 60s singer, the Squirrel Revival, The Streak, Misty. He did a song about it on our website. Come to the USA. Check it out. Check it out at thepoliticalcessible.org. We love Ray Stevens. We'll be back with more right after this.
Right after these messages. Get on the show and express your opinion in the political cesspool. Call us toll-free at 1-866-986-6397.
Big girls don't cry. Big girls. All right, ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the show. I'm your host, James Edwards. And, you know, when Milton Bradley or Parker Brothers, we'll let them get into a bidding war for the honor, when they come out with the political cesspool trivia game, and the question is asked, what was the one guest in the history of the broadcast that made more appearances than any other guest? The answer is going to be the man that is on the line right now. Reverend Ted Pike, the director of the National Prayer Network. Reverend Pike is, of course, recognized worldwide as a leader for his tireless efforts to defeat the Orwellian hate crimes bills that seek to make criminals of Christians. And as a result of those remarkable efforts, Ted has made more appearances on our show over the years than any other guest in our history. And tonight he joins us once again, deservingly so, I might add, to share with us how he is helping to lead the charge against ENDA. Reverend Pike, first of all, welcome back.
Well, thanks for having me.
It's always my pleasure and a privilege, I might add. Always good to hear from you. We do it quite often. Let's get right down to brass tacks. What is ENDA, and why should we oppose it?
ENDA is the Employment Non-Discrimination Act. It's the Anti-Defamation League's Workplace Hate Crimes Bill. Now, as you mentioned, many of our listeners are familiar with ADL's Federal Hate Crimes Bill, which was passed last year. This is the equivalent of it in the workplace. And what it basically says is that homosexuals who are qualified have equal opportunity hiring privileges in any business in America of 15 or more employees. This means that if an employer has a homosexual who's qualified, he cannot refuse to hire him if he is the most qualified for the job. And if he fires him as a cross-dresser or someone in his business whose behavior is distinctively homosexual and yet offends clients, nevertheless, that employer will be considered a hate criminal by the federal government. So basically, this is an update on the Civil Rights Act of 1964, which gave blacks preferential treatment, affirmative action, and quota privileges above the rest of the American majority. This is doing the same thing to homosexuals.
Well, Ted, that is an excellent way to describe it to our listening audience. Basically, the kind of carnage that was caused by the 64 Civil Rights Act, this is going to be the equivalent for homosexuals. So it appears as though decent business owners will have less and less freedoms, if they could have any less, with affirmative action and quotas and set-asides already being the law of the land. This would further restrict their ability to run their businesses as they see fit. Am I reading that correctly?
That's right. And not only that, but ENDA could well make these requirements incumbent upon churches in America.
Huh.
The Civil Rights Act of 64 is unclear on that, and of course this is basically an amendment to that act. The Jewish community, the liberal left-wing Jewish community in America, is pressuring heavily Attorney General Eric Holder to use his discretionary enforcement power to require that INDA apply to churches in America. One of the most egregious aspects of INDA, however, is what's called the transgender provision. And that states that any male or any female, any transgender who claims they want to become the opposite sex can inform the faculty or the administration of a college or the administration of a business that they are now desiring to become the opposite sex. And with that notification, these transgenders are fully entitled under federal law to enter in to the locker rooms, the lavatories, and even eventually the shower facilities of the sex that they want to belong to. Now, in practical terms, what this means is, let's say we have an employee, even a teacher or a janitor or somebody of a large college, and certainly that would have more than 15 employees, and so he wants to get in the co-ed's locker rooms, into their showers, and actually shower with them. All he has to do is notify the administration that he would like to become a woman. He is transitioning into a woman. And with no documentation at all, no evidence that he's even taking hormone therapy or even anticipating surgery, the administration has to allow him in to a female co-ed locker rooms and showering facilities.
Man, I wish I'd have been in high school when that law was coming down the pike. No, seriously, Ted, obviously, this is just further evidence of how destructive a path America is headed down. I mean, how perverse and how disgusting does a country have to be, morally speaking, for them to even consider such a law? I mean, something like this ought to be dismissed immediately without any. I mean, you look at it, it's out. I mean, it's a no-brainer.
Yes.
But yet now we have become such a caricature of the proud, strong Christian nation that we were all the way up into the 1950s and early 60s.
Yeah.
That stuff like this is seriously debated. And I've got to ask you this, Ted, not to get off the topic of INDA. We're gonna get back to that. But I want to ask you your opinion of this before we do. We had Brother Nathaniel Kapner on the program a couple of weeks ago. And we asked this question of him as well. And I'd like to get your take on it. The ADL is always behind perverse legislation such as this. You know, is it because out of the love and goodness of their heart that they love these homosexuals so much, that's why they're going to bat for them? Or is there something more sinister in play here?
ADL has an agenda for world dominion. They are interested in tearing down, trashing Christian civilization with all of its morality and structure, even its free enterprise system. Anything to destroy the free enterprise, Christian-based Western civilization, which is the primary barrier to ADL's dream of establishing a Judaic New World Order. And so the homosexuals, the transgenders, and so on are simply cannon fodder. They're useful idiots that ADL is ostensibly coming to the aid of and fighting for their so-called civil rights against discrimination. But at heart, they have no interest in the so-called injustices against homosexuals. They have no real interest in providing civil rights for them. All they're wanting to do is to elevate sodomy and sodomites above the rest of the population in order that the Christian morality and laws and structures of our civilization might be destroyed. You see, ADL knows that there is no better way than to tear down a civilization historically, according to the historical record, than getting sodomy, getting this kind of perversion established, particularly in the youth. And so we're in a tremendous fight here. Literally these Judaic barbarians are at the gates attempting to destroy us and bring us in to basically a one-world system ruled over by their false messiah, Antichrist. And by the way, Abe Foxman, the head of ADL, is a pious Orthodox Jew. He says he eagerly anticipates the arrival of this messiah and his world dominion.
Well, Ted, you answered that far more eloquently than I expected, and I expect a lot any time you're on the program. Thank you so much for providing such an in-depth analysis. That's exactly the way I feel about it, too, but it's great to hear you say it in so many words. When we come back, we got another minute or two before the segment ends. When you come back after the break, I'm going to ask you what the odds are that INDA will be passed. Have we made any steps to ensure that it doesn't become law? And furthermore, what more can we do to ensure that it doesn't become law? All that, where it stands now and what we can do to drive the final nails in the coffin. I'm going to ask you that after the break. But last question before that, is there anything else about INDA, the Employment Non-Discrimination Act, that we haven't covered yet that you think would be of particular interest to the audience?
Well, I think we'll get in the next section, we'll talk about its present status in Congress. Really, we have a tremendous opportunity right now to knock INDA in the head, because the health care reform debate occupied so much of this last Congress that the INDA people, the ADL and the homosexual lobby, really couldn't build the kind of momentum, the steam that they wanted to. And so they're being caught here with the clock ticking in the last weeks and months of the 111th Congress. So there's a very great deal we can do, and we'll talk about that in a minute.
All right, we're going to come back with Ted Pike right after this. We're going to get those answers and more. Stay tuned, everybody.
Don't go away. The Political Cesspool guys will be back right after these messages.
We'll return. We'll return.
Jump in the Political Cesspool with James and the gang. Call us tonight at 1-866-986-6397. And here's the host of the Political Cesspool, James Edwards.
All right, we're continuing on now with Reverend Ted Pike, our good friend and certainly a man whose example we should all follow. If everybody tuned into this program tonight had half the energy and resolve as Reverend Pike, we could take this country back in short order. And he's on tonight, of course, to talk with us, give us more information about a bill that is being proposed that could become law if we don't do our duty, and that is INDA, the Employment Non-Discrimination Act. If you want more information about INDA, go to Reverend Pike's website, www.truthtellers.org. Truthtellers.org. You can get all the info there that he's providing you with this evening. But during that first segment, he was giving us some background information. Now we want to find out where it stands, what are the probabilities that this will become law, what we can do to ensure that it doesn't. Ted, you've got a great article on your website, a new article, Wrath of Right Slows INDA. So it looks as though our people have it on the run. What can we do to make sure it's buried once and for all?
Well, this transgender provision allowing males to enter women's restrooms and even shower facilities really is a pretty hard sell, even to some liberal Democrats. And there are 13 Democrats in the Senate who still have not signed on to support of INDA. And of course, they've got to get 60 votes in order to pass INDA in the Senate. They're at least 15 shy. So this is a wonderful opportunity for lovers of freedom to call in to at least 13 of these Democrats. We have those listed at truthtellers.org in several of our recent articles, including the one you just mentioned. We need to get those calls going in. In fact, we have been getting reports of heavy calling to these crucial Democrats. Now, the situation right now is that the homosexual lobby is putting almost all of their efforts in trying to persuade these 13 senators to come over and support INDA. We are calling the people to fight back and give powerful argument from our point of view that this will mean disaster for these Democrats, especially at midterm elections. And we also have on our side the fact that many of these Democrats now are uneasy about facing the wrath of the voters at Judgment Day, which, of course, is in November, And I don't think that all of them want to have on their record that they have supported a bill that allows voyeurs and weirdos into the showering facilities of co-eds in college. And so this is an opportune time. The homosexual community is rather in disarray, and we need to get those calls going in. I'll just quickly give you the toll-free number. It's 877-851-6437. That's 877-851-6437. And if you only have time to call your members of the Senate and even your House member, that's a very good thing to do. But come to truthtellers.org and call all 13 of those wavering senators. It'll only take you about 10 minutes, and it'll be a tremendous blow for freedom.
Well, Ted, you think the odds look pretty good that this thing's going to be defeated. You say we've got them on the ropes. The fact that 45 people have already signed on to support this is just unconscionable, but they need 15 more. You think it's going to be pretty hard for them to get all 15 as it stands right now?
Well, I don't want to underestimate the powers behind the scenes to push this bill through. You know, it's kind of like a rattlesnake. You really never know he's dead until you've chopped off his head.
That's right.
And
we should be careful in our wording here on the program. We don't want to lead people to believe that the battle is concluded, therefore they don't have to go and do their part.
Absolutely not.
I guess the better way to have worded the question was, if everyone does their part and calls these people, we should be okay.
That's right. We should have a resounding victory that's the result of the overwhelming protest of the American people, the overwhelming enlightenment and understanding about this bill. Otherwise, it's just going to be reintroduced in the next Congress. We'll have this whole fight over again. So people need to come to truthtellers.org, read our articles, get educated on what this bill really, really threatens, take action. And I believe, after the passage of the health care reform bill, there was a tremendous cynicism and disillusion among the people in the religious conservative and the far right. But I believe that we're coming around with a ray of hope here. We're seeing that again, the legislative option is open, and we especially have a good opportunity right now to prove that the ballot and the telephone, rather than the bullet, still can save America.
Well, folks, read more. Ted always does such a great job of very plainly laying out a good game plan, good sound marching orders, and he's done so for this battle at his website, truthtellers.org. We also have his missive prominently featured on our website this evening, thepoliticalcesspool.org. You can get his press release at either website, ours or his. He's got the list there of the senators that are wavering, and how you can contact them, what you need to say when you get them. One of them is Robert Byrd. I don't even know. I figured he was sedated in a nursing home. Does he still show up?
Yeah, he still shows up, and he usually votes Democrat. He didn't actually show up for the hate bill vote last July, but he's a troubled man.
Yeah, I tell you. Well, yeah, he is, and I tell you, he's hanging in there like a rusty fish hook, though, but he's one of the ones you got to call. And there are some others as well, so check that out at truthtellers.org or thepoliticalcesspool.org. And, Ted, we look forward to having you back in short order to celebrate the defeat of this despicable, disgusting legislation. And I'm sure that if everyone does their part, and only if everyone does their part, we'll be able to do just that. But if you have one more second, I'd like to ask you an unrelated question. I know you're there in Clackamas, Oregon, and do you follow state politics very much there, Ted?
Not as much as federal politics.
Yeah, I know your forte, your big thing is federal related issues, particularly hate crimes and their the bills like this that branch from it. But I had to ask you. I played basketball and was on the school team growing up, and was always a fan of the Trailblazers. And I saw Big Duds Chris Dudley is the Republican nominee for governor out there in Oregon. Don't know anything about his politics, and I expect he's probably moderate, to say the least. But do you know anything about his positions?
Well, I did listen to him, actually, on the on a TV symposium the other night, and it sounded pretty good. We have a three or four Republicans who are pretty staunch fiscal conservatives, and his criticisms of Democratic usurpations here in our state sounded pretty good to me, but that's not my specialty.
Yeah, I know that, but I just figured if anybody in my Rolodex of contacts that might know Oregon politics, it would be you. But we'll do our own research on Chris Dudley. I just thought that was kind of a novelty. You know, he'd gone to Yale, played in the NBA for 16 seasons now. He'd won the Republican nomination for governor. But anyway, I digress. Folks, keep in mind, the name of the game tonight is Enda. Let's focus on that and not basketball players turned political candidates. Enda, let's check it out. Let's drive the stake through the devil's heart on this one. And for more information about how to do just that, you got to go to Ted Pike's website, truthtellers.org. And please put this into action. Get into action. Get on the front lines with us. And we'll have Ted back on to celebrate the defeat of this bill. Ted, thank you so much, as always, for making yourself available to our listening audience. We wish you the best, and we'll talk to you again soon, I'm sure.
Well, thank you, James. The same to you. Bye now.
All right, Reverend Ted Pike, everybody, truthtellers.org. And again, at the risk of sounding repetitive, we have this information for you as well on our website, thepoliticalcesspool.org. While you're there, if you're a fan of this show, keep in mind this is a listener-supported entity. We're all volunteers. None of us draw a paycheck or a salary for our efforts associated with this program. And believe me, it's a full-time job. It's a full-time job. We take a lot of flack from the left because we have been very successful. We've been media magnets, from CNN to the London Times to New York Times, the LA Times, you name it. Newsweek, they've interviewed us. We're big news. Because we do good work, and we do it without retreat, surrender, or apology, and it takes a toll. And we ask that you support this program, both with your prayers, and if you're so moved, your financial considerations. You can donate to this show online as well at our website, and we would hope that you might think about doing just that. Well, we got a big third hour. If you haven't got enough already, with all the stuff Keith Alexander and I covered during the first hour, with everything we just discussed with Ted Pike, we still got one more hour coming up tonight, and it promises to be just as good as the first two. Eddie the Bombardier Miller, one of the co-hosts from the Political Cesspool All-Star Stable of Talent, he'll be joining me for that third hour. He has got an excellent guest lined up, Walter Reedy. Walter Reedy is a constitutional scholar. He runs in the same circles as Ron and Rand Paul and so many other leading constitutionalists. Talk to Eddie and Walter Reedy in the third hour.
Right, there's a third hour of tonight's installment of the Political Cesspool coming your way right after these messages.
They call the rising sun.